be conformed to this world. Don't be like everybody else. Be transformed. It says by the renewal of your mind, but you got to ask, what do you mean renewal? What renewed to what? Renewed to the image of Christ. We're supposed to begin to think like Him, follow the teachings of the Holy Spirit. And when we're tested, pray God that we would get it right. That we would understand and be content with what's His will for us. Sometimes it's tough, isn't it? Sometimes we don't, I won't speak for you. Sometimes I don't want to do it. You guys are probably all on top of this. One of these weeks, you guys are going to get up here and preach, and I'm just going to sit down there and listen, because that's how it should be. But today, since I already wrote this up, I'll go ahead and share it. I'm going to be reading from Matthew, from chapter 21, if you want to follow along in your Bible. Today is Palm Sunday. As the video explained, it is a day of celebration, a day of the triumphal entry of Jesus as He entered into Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and He will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on their cloaks and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." The triumphal entry, a parade of people starting a chain of events that would transform history. The entry was triumphant. The next 4 days of Jesus' teachings were magnificent. Then, late on Thursday night, Jesus was betrayed, and on Friday he was crucified. Pause a moment and grieve the death of the perfect man. Can you see him in your mind? God in the flesh, nailed upon the cross. The intention that the people had at the time was to stop him by destroying his life. Instead, what they did was they released him to be a sacrifice for our sins. Imagine for a moment your sins. Okay, it might take more than a moment, but imagine your sins, all of them. Just process through this in your mind. Search through your memories. Find the times that you hurt others. Remember a lie that you told, a divorce that you caused, an event that could have been clarified, but you remained silent. A word that went a kind word that went unspoken. a drug that was taken, an item that was shoplifted, a sexual encounter that should have never happened, a cruel word spoken to someone who was already down and out, a white lie, an illegally caught fish, or an entry on the taxes. We all have our lists, our regrets. These are our sins. Now imagine for a moment that you could go back in time and remove every single one of those things. That you could take them and move them as though they'd never happened. Need my battery out there. Can you see yourself clean and pure, washed and made new? Can you see that? If you can, then you're seeing yourself as God sees you. That is, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, clean, right, as if you've never made a mistake. Can you see it? You know, going forward, we don't have to live perfectly. We simply need to accept Christ. Because he was our perfect sacrifice. Does that give us freedom to sin and then just be forgiven all the time? No. What it does is God's forgiveness gives us the freedom from sin, not the freedom to sin. It gives us the freedom to love and to live for God. Gives us the freedom to love ourselves. It gives us the freedom to be at peace. It gives us the freedom to rejoice. Freedom to be happy. Freedom to be satisfied with this life. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, that first Palm Sunday, it was a triumphal entry. Triumphant for us. Triumphant for those who have placed their trust in Christ. For those who have received the forgiveness of their sins and the gaining of eternal life. Have you done that? Have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you? You know, a lot of people say, well, sure I have. I always want to ask, what was the date? Where were you? What were you doing? It's like, well, I don't know the date. Well, I've got a confession to make. I don't know the date. Because at the time, it didn't seem like that big of a deal to me. But over time, it's become a big deal. To understand that we as human beings can live in a right relationship with God because he loves us, because he sought us out, because he's touched us and healed us and made us whole. It's not by works that I have done, but by a single work that he did, by sending Christ to be the sacrifice for our sins, for my sin, for your sin. I'm touched by that. When I share my personal testimony, it's actually awkward because I always tell people there should be a time and a date and place. And then I have to say, they say, well, when did you receive Christ? And I'm like, well, first, I was in this little Baptist church. Colleen and I were there. And apparently the pastor looked at me and thought, there's a sinner in our midst. Because he preached the whole sermon looking at me. And I gave my heart to Christ that day. But I did nothing about it. Then as time went on, I had an event that I've shared with many of you before where I was out, it was night, I just want to be abbreviated here, and I was walking and I just prayed, Lord, if you are knocking on my heart, would you please come in? And I felt the Spirit of God descend upon me and wash me. And then there was that other time. That time when I was actually in Germany serving in the army. And again, I was in one of those churches. And again, the minister gave us an opportunity to receive Christ. And again, I prayed to receive Jesus. When was I saved? I don't know. One of those three times. I'm good with any of them. Maybe it took me three. But I remember them all. I don't remember the dates. 1975, 1976, I remember December, around Christmas, 75, April, May of 76, kind of. Do you have such a day? Or have you just kind of always believed it's no big deal? You know, just kind of, no big deal. Or do you have a day? A day where you drove a stake in the ground and said, from this day forward, I am going to follow and serve the Lord. I want to challenge you. If you've never made that commitment, make today that day. Palm Sunday, 2015. The day when you decide to follow Jesus and not turn around. The day when you make that decision that no matter what comes, I will follow. Say, well, how do you do it? Oh, just do the best you can, and it'll work out. I don't mean to sound so trite about it, because Christ dying on the cross was not a small thing. But know this, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. If you don't do it in the right order, God will guide you through it. He did me. The first time I received Christ, I didn't understand anything. Nothing. I thought Jesus was a Bible teacher. I didn't know. The second time when I was alone by myself and I felt the Spirit descend on me, believe me, anything that I thought I knew, I instantly forgot. Because all of a sudden I'd been touched by a hand that I couldn't see. And I'm not really into ghosts and weird things. But I knew that it happened. And I knew I was changed. And I knew what I knew, even if I really couldn't explain. And then as the pieces began to be put together, as I began to understand that God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When I began to put those pieces together, began to pursue and follow Him. And then it was just a straight line, and I never committed another sin the rest of my life. Wrong. And I didn't make it 6 months. Probably didn't make it a day. It wasn't long before somebody said something and hurt my feelings, and I turned my back on the church, and it wasn't long before I forgot about God. It wasn't long before I forgot about the triumphal entry that He made into my heart. It wasn't long enough. That's what this message is about. For Jesus and for those that day, it was a simple journey that the triumphal entry was.
Matthew 21:1 says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and to the Mount of Olives." It's 1 or 2 miles in length, that journey, common walk for that day and time. It was a day, it was during a celebration. It was a day when all the people were going that way anyhow. Everybody was going into Jerusalem. So it was no big deal. Many alive at the time, they looked to Jesus as a preacher. They looked to him as a prophet. They looked to him, some did, as the Messiah. Many had likely been there when he fed the 5,000. Some had probably been there, but certainly the rumors were swirling all around that Jesus had raised this widow's son from the dead. And that he'd also raised Jairus' daughter and Lazarus from the dead. Those rumors had to be everywhere. But that's not all that he did. He changed the water into wine. He cured the nobleman's son. He caused the great haul of fishes. He cast out an unclean spirit from a man. He cured Peter's mother-in-law of a fever in an instant. He healed a leper. Healed the centurion's servant. Calmed a storm. Cured two demoniacs. Healed a paralytic. Cured a woman from an issue of blood. Opened the eyes of two more blind men. He loosened the tongue of a man who could not speak. He healed an invalid. He restored a withered hand. He cured another demon-possessed man. He healed a woman of Canaan. He cured another deaf and mute man. He fed an additional 4,000 people. He opened the eyes of another blind man. He cured a boy who had been plagued by a demon. He gave sight to a man born blind. Cured a woman who had been afflicted for 18 years with an illness. Cured a man of dropsy. Cleansed 10 lepers at one time. And he did more. You see, this was no fad following that Jesus had. These people were believers. But they were about to be shaken. Jesus had come through like a superhero. He knew what to say, and he knew who to say it to. He showed no fear of the Pharisees. He showed no fear of the Sadducees or the Sanhedrin. He showed no fear of Caesar or his guards. Even the wind and the waves didn't bother him. He spoke plainly, and he made friends of the little man, the unimportant man, the poor man, even the crippled and the sick man. Jesus seemed to be careless about politics, public opinion, or position. He stood for what was right. He stood for power to the people. Jesus stood for God. And the people hailed and praised.